Hello, welcome. We're going to discuss stock valuation, facts about common stock. It represents ownership stake into a company, right? So I buy shares of a stock. Now I have a piece of the ownership of that company. It's an equity piece into that company. Ownership implies control. Now I have voting rights. I can vote on issues of a firm. Stockholders elect board of directors to represent them, to guide the company, and to have their interest brought forward to upper management. Directors elect management, CEO, CFO, CIO. They put them in place at the stockholders, shareholders, at their vote, right? They'll put them in place. They'll vote them in, right? And then the shareholders are vote in the board of directors, and then the board of directors will speak for the shareholders and elect the upper management. Management's goal, optimize stock price by optimizing their output, efficiency, and effectiveness in whatever market or industry that they are competing in. Intrinsic value and stock price. Outside investors, corporate insiders, and analysts use a variety of approaches to estimate a stock's intrinsic value or real value. In equilibrium, we assume that a stock's price equals its intrinsic value. So equilibrium in the market is when supply meets demand. It'll create an equilibrium price. Outsiders estimate intrinsic value to help determine which stocks are attractive to buy or sell. Stocks with a price below intrinsic value are usually viewed as undervalued, and which could be an attractive buying opportunity. So, determinants of intrinsic value and stock prices. At the top, managerial actions. The actions of the CEO, CFO, and the decisions they make and the outcomes. The economic environment. Are we in recession? Are we growing? Taxes. We have high taxes, low taxes. What is the climate like there? And the political climate. Are we having conservative political climate, or are we having a more liberal political climate? Those will all affect the market. True investor cash flows stem from these. True risk, perceived investor cash flows, and perceived risk. So the intrinsic value is the true value, whereas the perceived value is the market value of an equity. So the market equilibrium is when the intrinsic value of a stock price equals the market value of a stock price. So we can discuss the dividend discount model. The dividend discount model is a value of a stock and its present value of the future dividends expected to be generated by the stock. So we can take the dividend, we can run it through the growth phase, and then we can come back and we can calculate out the price of the stock. Now, constant growth stock, a stock whose dividends are expected to grow forever at a constant rate. So we'll look out into perpetuity and figure out, okay, is our investment time horizon 10 years? So we can look over a 10-year span and we can expect to see the dividend growth. So the dividend is our return from the company. They pay us out as a risk premium. So if we have a $10 stock and they have a $3 dividend or a 3% dividend, we'll receive $3 for every share of stock that we own when they issue the dividends, typically quarterly. We can know by performing the calculation in this model what the growth rate of that dividend will be, and we'll be able to see what we're going to receive sometime out in the future as far as dividend growth. Now, if the growth rate is constant, the dividend discount formula converges to this equation at the bottom. So you'll see at the top, dividend 1 equals the dividend from the previous period times 1 plus the growth rate raised to the period. So now we can see if the growth is constant, you'll have D1, which is dividend, or you'll say D0 times 1 plus the growth rate divided by the rate of the market minus growth. This will give you dividend 1, and then you can take dividend 1 and divide it by the rate of return minus growth, and this will give you the stock price that we're looking for. What happens if growth is greater than return? If growth is greater than return, the constant growth formula leads to a negative stock price, which does not make sense. So if we are going to be looking at stocks that we want to invest in, and if the rate of return is less than growth, we will not buy that stock. The constant growth model can only be used if the return is greater than growth, and growth is expected to be constant in perpetuity or forever. Remember CAPM formula? The risk-free rate of return plus the market premium times beta. So we can run through this calculation again really simply. So let's say the risk-free rate, 7%, right, plus market return, the expected market return, 12%, minus the 7% risk-free rate, and this security has a 1.2 beta. Simple math, order of operations, parenthesis first, multiply 1.2, add the 7%, 13% return on this particular security. So now we can predict out the present value of the dividend stream simply by using your financial calculator, as we demonstrated in an earlier video. Find the future value, let's say for period 1, 2.12. The rate of return for your IY is 13, and your number of periods is 3. So now you are solving for present value. You can see our present value is here, 1.87, so forth, for our dividend present values. So now we can see that the return on this security, the expected return, 13%, constant growth at 6%. What is the stock's intrinsic value? What's its real value? So we're going to use the constant growth model approach. So now we can go back and see the stock price at period 0. We want to know what is the stock price going to be in year 1. Notice we'll take the 212 dividend, right? We're in period 1, the 212 dividend. First, at 0, we can see that it was 2. The dividend D0 was 2, so 0 is 2. The growth of the dividend is expected to be 6%. This gives us 2.12. We want to find what the stock price is at period 1 with a dividend at 2.12. So now we're going to plug this in to the constant growth model. Our dividend, remember, is 2.12. Our expected return in the market is 13%, and we're going to subtract out the growth forecast. This will give us 2.12 minus 0.07, which will give us a $30.29 stock price based on the calculation of the dividend growth. Now, why is this significant? The 30.29 price is our intrinsic value. This is the real value based on real metrics, not just assumed market value based on potential speculation from trading, right? This is the real intrinsic value on the books, right? So now we want to look at the market value price. If the market value price is lower than this, if it's lower than 30.29, maybe it's 28 or 25, that may present a buying opportunity because the market will do its best to push prices into equilibrium. Remember that market equilibrium is equal when stock price, intrinsic stock price, equals market stock price. So when our price gets up to 30.29, when the market value for the stock gets up to 30.29, then they will be in equilibrium. But until then, if it's under 30.29, it's a buying opportunity. Now, if the price is above $30.29, it's a sell opportunity, right? Maybe it's overvalued. So we want to always, markets will always bring prices into equilibrium. Now we want to find out a stock's dividend yield. What is this going to return us? What is this going to yield us for me being invested into this stock and risking my capital? What is the firm going to return to me? So we'll notice that dividend one, again, was 212, right? Dividend one, 212. 2.12. Now we're going to divide that by the price, 30.29, which is going to give us a 7% dividend yield. This company might be a little risky. 7% is kind of a high dividend yield. So you'll get rewarded for taking on additional risk with a higher rate of return. Now let's look at capital gains yield. Now, for price 1, notice we have price 0 already at 30.29. Now we need to calculate price 1. So we will use period 2 dividend yield or dividend price. So we'll use, instead of the 2.12 like we did in period 1, in period 2, we'll use the 2.247, same required return. Remember, growth is constant. This will calculate, so we will take the 2.247 and divide that by 0.07. And this will give us $32.10. So now, this is price 0. So now we have price 1, $32.10, minus $30.29. Then we'll divide that by $30.29. This will give us a capital gains yield of 6%. Remember, capital gains is the appreciation on our stock price year over year. So if we buy a stock at $5 and we sell it at $10, we just made a $5 capital gain. So if the capital gain is the appreciation on an asset price or the value of that asset going up. So let's look at our total returns. So our dividend yield plus our capital gain yield. So what was our dividend yield? 7%. What was our capital gain yield? 6%. So our total return for investing in this stock will be 13%. Looks like we are doing just as good as the market with our investment choice. Now, our dividend yield is really high, 7%. But our total return is going to be 13. And the market is a 13% return. So why are we going to accept, or are we going to accept, a return that is equal to the market when our dividend yield is typically twice as high as it would be in the market Usually 3.5% is good for a low risk solid company, 3.5%. So 7% is pretty high. So why would we accept the same return as the market for a higher risk stock? Is 13% my total return a wise investment for the risk that I'm going to take? As a financial manager, you have to figure that out for yourself and make the right decision for your shareholders.